You're listening to Click Through, a Total User Experience podcast brought to you by Government Technology Insider. Each episode features best practices and strategies from federal modernization experts on how to use innovative technology to elevate total experiences. And now, here's your host, Kate Macri.
We're taking a closer look at how defense agencies initiate a culture shift to embrace a total experience mindset that drives innovation. As the Department of Defense embarks on a new transformation journey with the launch of its first ever Chief Experience Officer Portfolio Management Office, the biggest challenge will be shifting cultural attitudes to focus on customer experience and user experience upfront instead of as an afterthought. Measuring the impact technology has on service personnel and understanding their needs will be critical to improving CX and UX. This episode will dive into how DoD can innovate to enhance CX and UX for improved mission readiness and performance. For our conversation today, I'm talking with Michael Carroll, Chief of Acquisition and Procurement at the U.S. Army HRC, and Pamela Powers, Defense Market Lead at Maximus. So to start off our conversation, I want to hear from you about the new DoD CX office and why that's coming at such a critical time for IT innovation across the services. I want to start with you, Mike.
Okay, great. So this idea of customer experience may be new to the government, but obviously it's not new across industry. And I think what you're seeing is an opportunity for the government to learn best practices from industry and bring those into our environment. And I think, in terms of timing, it's so critical for us right now. The last 2 years have been incredibly painful for us financially, and next year is not looking any better. So any chance we can get to get better outcomes and get really an improved return on investment is so important for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Pam, would love your thoughts as well.
I think just to build on what Mike said, I think historically organizations in the Department of Defense have not used human-centered design practices, and they haven't been focused on user experience in their digital transformations. And typically it's been a lift and shift type of digital transformation. And all too often the end result does not meet the goals of the organization or the user or the customer. And I mean, I think we can think through how many digital transformations in DoD have failed over the last 10, 20 years. There's probably too many to count. And I think the DoD, like Mike said, is seeing the need for changing the paradigm and learning from industry on best practices, but it's also been a priority for the government. The last two administrations have really focused on this. And I think, with talent being really in high demand everywhere and the qualified pool of applicants for service shrinking every year, I think the department's finally realizing that it's imperative that they shift their focus to the service member and to the mission and support them and their families through a customer-centered lens. And I think the way the department does that is through learning from what's out there and what are best practices in the industry. So it's a great time for this.
Absolutely. And I feel like over the years, DoD has been moving more towards this focus on user experience, and customer experience gets rolled into that as well. Mike, what are some of the biggest CX pain points that you're seeing across DoD and especially your vantage point at Army HRC? Like what are some of those challenges that you're seeing that you feel like these initiatives are really helping to address?
We just recently concluded our second annual conversation with industry. So that's an event where we bring in thought leaders from both industry and government to work through what our biggest challenges are. And our commanding general, Major General Drew, laid out what he called his three moonshots at that event. So his first moonshot is help us see the Army. And so what he means by that is, how do we model our people inventory against known requirements and improve assessments at the time of a session? All of that obviously relies on a vast amount of data. Some of that we have today, some we may not know that we have, and some we do know we have. So number one, see the Army. Number two, see the soldier. Across the Army today, we really look at a soldier in this kind of 2D model, their skill and their grade. But a soldier is so much more than that. Their life experiences play into that, prior education that's not captured in, you know, you're an infantryman at the E5 or the O1 level. How do we capture all those other capabilities that are in there? So see the Army, see the soldier, and number three is really see the future. If we can appropriately model both those things that we talked about and see the Army and see the soldier, do we get a better understanding of where the Army needs them to be in 5 years and where they want to be in 5 years and really help the Army meet its future requirements?
Just to follow up on that, Mike, what about that model is different from the way you guys approached it before? Where's the pivot happening there?
So if I look at that second point, right, see the soldier, again, when we look at a soldier today, when a soldier graduates their basic training, their advanced individualized training, we look at them as you're an 11 Bravo infantryman with this set of skills. And the only skills that we consider that they have are those skills that were taught to them at that basic training. But some soldiers come into basic training with a wealth of other data. Maybe that being that 11 Bravo doesn't match what they really wanted to do, but they took it because that was available to them at the time. So if we had all that data available to us and we knew what made up the soldier and we knew where that soldier wanted to be, we could help craft them into a career field that better fits their needs and better fits the Army's needs.
So how does technology and innovation help with that and helping to make that pivot happen?
I think we're going to talk a lot about data over the course of this podcast. And I think that having access to that data and being able to model the data in a way that benefits both the Army and the soldier is absolutely critical.
Is there anything you wanted to add to that, Pam?
Yeah, I think just from a more strategic perspective on the customer experience side, I think a lot of organizations, try to solve world hunger all at once, right? And I'm not saying that the Army is doing this. The Army actually has a really well thought out plan. But I think from what we are seeing in industry, as organizations start this CX journey, it's important for them to look at high impact areas with the end state in mind, measure and provide data to show success, and then use that data to support expansion. When creating a new process or program that you really want to make a difference on the experience, having a clear understanding of that experience and all the data, all the touch points, all the pain points that go into that experience, I think is really critical. And I'll just add one more thing. It's important to look at experience as an ecosystem. It's not just that one program or that one process or the one website or the one call center. It's an ecosystem of processes, technology, and people that all create that experience. And I think when the Army goes down this journey or any other organization in DoD goes down this journey, they have to look at all of those touch points, all of those pain points, really map it out, map the experience out to understand what are the biggest impacts, you know, that they can make, and then prioritize them. And I think that will lead to a better experience in the end.
I feel like that keys us up perfectly for the data question, right? Because we're really starting to get into that now. So improving customer experience, as both of you have been talking about, usually starts with data collection and data management. And DoD also recently released a data analytics and AI adoption strategy calling for agile, user-focused, product-centric development and treating data more as a product. So my question is, how does this shift in mindset and how DoD is wanting to look at data impacting efforts to improve customer experience and become a more service member focused organization and department?
The baseline for all of it is ensuring that you have quality data, right? Mm-hmm. And we have a ton of data across Army Human Resources Command, right? Mm-hmm. Everything is has ever done in their career, we're able to reach out and touch that data. Historically been in these siloed entities that we have not always had a real good way of sharing data across the Army. We're getting after that with IPSE and continuing to make improvements into how we collect that data, how we sanitize the data, and how we better use that data. So, you know, when you ask, does it start with data collection or data management? I think we've got the collection piece down. Now it's we've got to get after that management piece of it. And the Army data strategy does a good job of pointing us in that right direction. One of the things that we're doing across the Army is this idea of data literacy, where it's not just the ORSAs and the data engineers that are getting training in how to collect data, how to manage data, but it's general users that are getting better understanding of how to do that. So that really goes into the next tier of that pyramid, which is insightful analytics and metrics. So now that we've got the data, we've got it collected, we've got it in a manageable format somehow, what do we do with it? And that's where we need more general population users to come on board and say, okay, this is how we're going to package the data to make an intelligent decision about what comes next for us. And eventually you get into that top tier of that pyramid that's in the document that you referenced, the data analytics and AI adoption strategy, and that's that responsible AI user. Now, I think we're a little bit away from that right now. We've got to focus on building that strong base in the pyramid first with the quality data and the insightful analytics.
Pam, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think Mike is spot on. The data has to be usable. It has to be trustworthy. And you have to be able to find a way to empower that data and use it to meet the mission requirements, right? And I think data can help personalize the military service, and it's critical to improving, I think, the way the services recruit, develop, employ, and retain talent. You know, on the recruiting side, and the Army's already doing this, data helps you discover whether your marketing campaign is reaching the right recruits, you're focusing on the right people, you're attracting people who are likely to be interested in service rather than wasting your time and efforts on general audience and hoping they don't bounce. On the readiness side, it helps you understand if the training and the weapon systems and programs are effective. You know, one of the goals that Mike mentioned earlier is treating every human or every soldier as an individual and understanding each interaction as a data point and using that data to create a personalized experience, I think helps service members and their families feel like they're important and they're valued in the Army. And I think that's critical, you know, going forward. And then finally, I would just say data helps reduce friction. You know, there are so many things you can learn as organizations start finding this usable and collecting this usable data that they can learn where the pain points are, where the organizational processes aren't doing well, and which ones need support or reengineering. It helps leaders know where the pain points are and which, you know, websites or processes are moving too slowly or causing confusion. So taking all that data in, you know, the next step is to really figure out what to do with it, find usable use cases for artificial intelligence and to make sure that you're using it in the right way where it makes the most sense for the mission requirements.
Mike, from your perspective and acquisition and procurement kind of role, how does this innovation shift translate to acquisition and procurement? And how do you see this impacting mission readiness?
Yeah, so obviously there's a huge impact. And the Army realizes that and is putting out some enterprise-wide guidance. We recently issued the Software Modernization Army Directive 2402, and it lists a whole bunch of goals for us. And shifting away from the idea of legacy software sustainment and moving into this idea of continuous development, continuous delivery. There are some legal implications that we're still working through with color of money. You know, we previously did sustainment using OMA funds, one type of money, and now we've got to shift that to doing constant development, which is a different kind of money. But I think in the end, it clears up what our expectations are. A lot of times when an end user wants something, whether that's a widget or it's software development, it doesn't matter, product or service. They put in this request, and the request goes into this black hole. And you know, 3-4 months later, they either get their product or their service, or they don't. And we don't have the transparency that we need. And that's one of the things that, that General Drew has out challenged me to do, is figure out a way to get more transparency into that system. And so we're going to do that by building more dashboards. Again, going back to this idea of the data, to show at each stop within the procurement path, how long it's sitting at each stop, help us identify those bottlenecks and reduce the bottlenecks and continue flow. Hopefully reduce the time it takes us to get stuff put on contract and in the hands of the end user.
Yeah. So would you say that data visualization and being able to see the data journey basically is like the first step in managing data effectively and identifying those pain points and being able to do something with that data?
Yeah, I would actually go a little further than that and say it's probably step zero. You can't even find the problem you're trying to fix without that data. And so as we start to build out what our new procurement pipeline is going to look like, that's one of the things that we did is we went back through and found all of our old data related to how long it takes us to process waivers and purchase requests and figured out where they were so we can apply the right pressure to those points.
Wow, that sounds like a massive undertaking.
And if I could add on that specific use case, that is a great use case of where human-centered design practices and user experience practices can help, right? Doing that deep analysis of that journey, where the pain points are, who's using it, you know, what the stakeholders believe, you know, doing that analysis of how they want to be served, and understanding the whole experience journey through a human-centered lens is, I think, would it result in such an amazing end product, right? So that you could use and that your users will love having, and that increases your pipeline and makes it more transparent, and just so many goodness from that methodology.
Once the data piece is figured out, presumably the next step then is AI, right? Mike, how do you see AI potentially getting to a point where it's improving this customer experience and user experience aspect across DoD and especially within Army HRC?
So many ways that we could incorporate AI into the processes. It would be great for us to be able to enter into a system, this is what my requirement is, and magically find all the contracts that have been written for the government for that product or that service. It helps us with negotiations when we go into vendors. We're armed with a lot of information. We do that today, but it's a very manual process. You know, hours and hours of culling through contracts to find the right answer. The Army has taken steps to help fix that, but we're not there yet. We are using across the Army and across the Army contract enterprise, we're using some AI. We'll check for compliance with Section 889. Which, you know, we're making sure we're not doing business with prohibited sources from China. We'll use it to check reps and certs within the FAR to let us know that somebody's caught up on their taxes. But we really need to take it to the next step and tie it to what the actual requirement is and not the underlying processes to get a contract.
Definitely. Anything you want to add to that, Pam?
Yeah, I think all of the organizations are trying to figure this out, right? Like Mike is talking about, they're trying to figure out how to do this smartly. And I think all of the, really, even in industry, organizations are trying to figure out what are the best use cases for AI and where, you know, how to collect that data, like we talked about earlier, make sure it's trustworthy, and then use it effectively. But I think I would just add one other thing that organizations are going to have to grapple with is the governance of it as well, right? The Army is very large, right? And how do you allow some of these innovative ideas to happen at lower levels but making sure that they're doing the right things at the right time, right? And that, so that governance piece is really critical, and organizations are still trying to figure out how to do that as well. And we're seeing some organizations create center of excellences for artificial intelligence, so that they can vet some of these great ideas and these use cases in a confined way, to see if they really work for the organization and whether or not the data can be trusted, and then roll them out to the organization if it makes sense. So, it's an interesting time to be in the Department of Defense as this technology is speeding up and all the organizations are trying to figure out how to do this and make sure that the legal requirements are right too. But I think everybody needs to do it in a very methodical way that, you know, organizations can trust and move forward.
Yeah. I just want to add to that governance piece, because I think that's critical. The Army organizations within the government all exist to reduce risk, and innovation by definition is risky. So right. Those two things don't always work well together. So making sure you have the right governance structure is going to be critical to gaining acceptance, especially at those middle tier leaders that are going to be really responsible for implementing this and helping them understand that what the acceptable level of risk is for these new and innovative ideas.
I know with industry is often the ones bringing all of those innovative ideas. And sometimes it's very much like, we have this cool idea, therefore like government should just automatically adopt it kind of thing. And I feel like that happens a lot with government and industry and those conversations there. So Mike, I'm curious from your perspective, when we're talking about like that partnership between government and industry and how they can work together better and share innovative ideas and work together to meet those mission requirements, how can government and industry do that while talking to each other and not at each other and not just talking past each other, basically?
I think it's incumbent upon government personnel to understand that you're authorized and actually what the Federal Acquisition Regulation says, you're encouraged to talk to industry. Mm-hmm. And so we've got to get out of this mindset of, if we talk to industry, there's going to be a protest or it's going to mess something up. In at least three places I can think of, the FAR tells you, please reach out to industry and talk to them and figure out how we can work together. It is something that we do a lot here at HRC. I spend probably 15 to 20 hours a week doing engagements with different industry thought leaders, so we can get better about this. That was the whole reason that our conversation with industry event was started, was because we wanted to bring in industry and learn from each other. Mm-hmm. So I think number one is we've got to use the tools that are already available to us. And make sure that we're doing that to the full extent possible. I think the other thing is, there's so much information that's out there. If you are afraid to talk to industry, you know, engage in professional forums, whether that's LinkedIn, that's ACT-IAC, it's listening to podcasts like this one. Find out how you're going to understand what's going on in industry and take advantage of that.
Do you have a perspective on that, Pam?
Yeah, I mean, Mike is spot on. There are so many organizations. I spent 28 years in the Air Force, and I was afraid to talk to industry as well. You know, I didn't know what I didn't know, right? And so I do think a lot of organizations are hesitant, but you get a better product in the end if you do talk to industry, right? Because you can learn a lot about what is out there and where you want to go just by those conversations. And HRC does this well. They put things out there. They get a lot of feedback. They change it, you know, to the requirement. And then they're continually growing and getting better at those requirements. And so industry, when they go to bid on these contracts, they really know, you know, what it will take to be successful and how they can help, you know, achieve the mission requirements.
My last question for the two of you is there anything else that you want to leave our listeners with that you think is important to remember about CX and data management, the governance piece, as DoD is kind of shifting its mindset to really focus on those things when it comes to IT and improving customer experience.
Yeah, so I think I'll start by saying that CX is like software, it's never done, right? Yeah. You should always be improving it. Generational changes will come in, and just when you got it tweaked the perfectly, a new generation comes in and they want things totally different. So it's going to, you've got to understand you're going to be in a constant state of churn when you're dealing with customer experience and making sure you get that right. From HRC standpoint, I would encourage everybody to go to the HRC website, hrc.army.mil, and look for our HRC 2030 vision. And see how we're getting after it. And if you've got recommendations of something that we can do better, we are absolutely open to get that kind of feedback from industry.
Yeah, just to add that, you know, as humans, we all live in 2024. We're all demanding more from the products and the services that we interact with on a daily basis. And we know what good experience looks like. You know, take Amazon or some of these other organizations that know everything about you and they know how to serve you the way you want to be served. You know, fortunately for all of us, I think the federal government is starting to shift this way and they're starting to look at individuals that they serve when designing their systems and their processes and services. Like when I go to get my passport renewed or my social security card updated with a name change, that experience should be as seamless as the ones that I have every day in my, you know, private life. And I think as DoD starts shifting this way, looking at the experience is going to be critical because all of our service members are expecting a digital, forward-thinking organization, right? They want to be part of something that's innovative and that's on the leading edge in technology. They don't want to be, you know, back in the 20th century. And so I think the organizations are starting to catch up, but it's going to take some time and effort for sure.
Absolutely. Well, this was a great conversation this afternoon. Thank you both so much for your time today, and thank you for joining us. And a big thank you to our listeners for tuning in. I'm your host, Kate Macri, and join us next time for more strategies for optimizing total user experiences from government to you.
If you want to hear more proven strategies for leveraging innovative technology to improve total experiences in federal government, please subscribe to this podcast or visit us at our website, governmenttechnologyinsider.com. This podcast was produced by Government Technology Insider and sponsored by Maximus.